The first hurdle that I want to point out to you is hard-heartedness. Hard-heartedness. You know that if you've ever planted flowers or winter grass or anything like that, when you throw the seed, some of that seed will fall on the sidewalk. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're throwing out maybe the rye grass for winter, and some of the seed will fall on the sidewalk. That seed doesn't do anything. It can't penetrate. It can't penetrate. And the same is true of the heart. When we hear the Word of God and we harden our hearts, the Word of God cannot penetrate. And brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist Church, I want to say something very clearly to you. You should never be afraid of any portion of Scripture. The entire thing from cover to cover is good for you. And some of the Scriptures in here are hard, and some of the Scriptures in here, they rub us the wrong way, and we might not like them at first glance, but you should never be afraid of any portion of Scripture. Everything written in this book is good for you. Everything. But some people, when they hear the Word of God, they harden their hearts. I have a neighbor who I won't name, but I have a neighbor, and I tried to explain the gospel to her, and the moment I started, she threw up a wall. The moment I mentioned Jesus, she threw up a wall and said, "Oh, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. That's not for me. I'm not about that." And in her case, I'm throwing out the seed of the Word. But she's hardened her heart so it falls on the road and Satan just takes it away. And I want to challenge you that hurdle number one is hard-heartedness. Whenever you open the Scriptures, brothers and sisters, whenever you open the Scriptures, whenever you open the Scriptures, make sure your heart is soft. Make sure that that Word, whatever it may be, can penetrate your heart and bear fruit. The way to clear hurdle number one is humility. Humility is the way to clear hurdle number one. James 1:21 behind me on the screen says this, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul." Our Lord tells the same parable in Luke, and he says about the good soil. He says this in Luke 18:15, "The seed in the good soil, these are ones who hear the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Oh, Trinity Baptist, may God give us an honest and good heart that whenever we read anything in this book, we soften. We soften. Trinity Baptist, when you open the Word of God, you should immediately soften. All your defenses should fall away, and you should say, "God, let me receive everything that you intend." Let's look at number two. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Hurdle number two is affliction and persecution. Affliction and persecution. Affliction is the Greek word philipsis, and it means a pressing, a pressure. Brothers and sisters, affliction and persecution are normal parts of the Christian life and should be expected. Affliction and persecution are normal parts of the Christian life and should be expected. The Lord warned us about this. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, brothers and sisters. I have overcome the world. Mark 10:29-31. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters, mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's, but that he will not receive 100 times as much now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Brothers and sisters, the call of the kingdom, the call of the gospel is to be last now so that you can be first later. You have to get that. The call of the gospel is a call to forsake all that this world has to offer so that you can gain all that Christ has to offer. I was a youth pastor for years, and I went to youth rallies with hundreds of kids sometimes. And the youth pastor or the speaker would give out the gospel, and 20, 30, 40, 50 kids would come forward and pray to receive Christ. They immediately receive the word with joy, but some of them will go home and affliction or persecution arises because of the word, and they fall away. Is that you? Am I describing you this morning? Brothers and sisters, we will face tribulation. If you truly want to follow Jesus Christ and you hang in there with that, you will suffer persecution. The way to clear hurdle number 2 right in front of me is perseverance. Perseverance. Brothers and sisters, we will face it. But our Lord Jesus says this in Romans 8:35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Brothers and sisters, nothing can separate you from Jesus' love. No persecution you face. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, Paul says, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How are you going to experience Christ strengthening you if you get to hurdle number 2 and give up? We need the perseverance that Christ gives, so that through the tribulations and through the persecutions and through the distresses, we can see that when we are weak, then and only then we are strong through Christ. God gives us perseverance through the Scriptures. Romans 15, behind me on the screen. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We gain perseverance through trials. Through trials. Is your commitment to Jesus Christ costing you something? Go through the trial and you'll be stronger Christian on the other side. Romans 5:3-5 says that. Not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We gain perseverance with one another. As I run the Christian race in partnership with my brothers and sisters, they comfort me and I comfort them. And above all, we can ask God for perseverance. Are you going through a tough time right now? Pray and say, God, give me the strength to go through this. Hurdle number one is hard-heartedness. Hurdle number two is the affliction and the persecution we face as Christians. Let's look at verse 22 of Matthew 13 for hurdle number three. The one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Hurdle number three is the worries and temptations of the world. The worries and temptations of the world. The Greek word worry is merimna, and it comes from the Greek word meaning to divide. And the idea is that the worries of the world divide your attention. You're running the Christian race, and suddenly Satan will distract you with something. He'll distract you with a worry of the world. He'll distract you with a concern of the world. He'll distract you with a temptation of the world. He'll distract you with a desire of the world. He'll distract you with the wealth of the world. And suddenly, you are divided. And that's hurdle number three. I have a dear friend right now who was running the Christian race well. He heard the gospel, and he softened his heart. He humbled his heart. And he, by the grace of God, he jumped over hurdle number one, and he prayed to receive Christ. And as he was running, I don't know if he got to hurdle number two or not. I'm not sure if the afflictions or persecutions got to him or not. But as he was running his Christian race, he met a girl. And this girl does not love Jesus. And he fell on that third hurdle. He was not able to jump it. And right now he is not walking with Jesus. And that third hurdle is a high one. Here in the sanctuary, they're all the same height. But haven't you found in the lives of other people that you've observed that third hurdle is a high hurdle? People will get to that third hurdle and say, wait a minute, if I truly obey Jesus as he explains himself in his word, how am I going to pay my bills? If I truly obey Jesus, what's going to happen to my relationships? Or someone will say, wait a minute, riches look good, or this looks good, or this looks good, or this desire looks good over here. And they get to that third hurdle, and Satan tempts them with something. And they turn aside, and they don't run the race anymore. Jesus warned us about this in Luke chapter 21. Luke 21:34, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that the day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. Our Lord has a solution for the worries of this world. And it's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. The Word of God warns us about the deceitfulness of wealth, and how many people have been pulled aside from the Christian race by the deceitfulness of wealth. You've got your Bible open to Matthew 13. Join me in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul is warning Timothy. He said there are people out there that see the Christian life as a means of financial gain. And we've read about people like that, haven't we? Ministers of the gospel and other people that see Christianity as an opportunity for them to make money. And Paul says that godliness actually is great gain if accompanied with contentment. Take a look at 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world. We cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich, fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many grief. Do you see, Paul is talking about hurdle number 3. He said, a man is running the Christian race, and suddenly the desire to get rich trips him up. And he wanders away from the faith and pierces himself with many griefs. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. The way to clear hurdle number 3, this high hurdle, the way to clear hurdle number 3 is faith. Faith will clear hurdle number 3. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. Brothers and sisters, Christianity is a call to trust in future riches and forsake what this world has to offer. Christianity is a call to say, I'm going to suffer now. I'm going to have persecution now. I'm going to suffer poverty now. I'm going to lose friendships now for future glory. You're making a choice, and you're making a great choice. Moses made that same choice in Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Do you see that? Isn't that amazing? Moses grows up in Pharaoh's house and says, all of these riches that I can have, I forsake, and I would rather suffer persecution but have Jesus. That's the choice that we all need to make. Faith says, I believe that true riches are future. True riches are spiritual. True riches are Christ. Hebrews 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. How much better is that than anything the world has to offer? Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. How tragic when someone initially receives the gospel but gets tempted by things this world has to offer. A young man, a young woman, a career, money, power, anything. How tragic it is that someone would say, I would rather have that than Christ. Christ is true riches. And he is worth giving up everything this world has to offer. Every person, every relationship, every comfort, everything. Christ is better. The way to clear hurdle number three is faith. Romans 2:4, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Hurdle number one is hard-heartedness. Hurdle number two is affliction and persecution. And hurdle number three is everything this world uses to distract you. The worries and cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. As I close, let me just give you two helpful hints to clear these hurdles. Number one, run with the team. Run with the team. The Christian race is not necessary to be run alone. In fact, it's hard. It's so hard to run it alone. I put these hurdles here, and you might picture someone running by themselves. That's how most races are run, right? You run, you come up to the hurdle, and you clear it, and you're by yourself, and you're competing with everybody else. And you run up to the hurdle, and you clear it, and you're competing with everybody else. But in the Christian life, it's not necessary to run it alone. In fact, you're not supposed to run it alone. Jesus commands that you not run it alone. And in my own life, in my own life, I've come across this hurdle, and it's been a brother. It's been a brother that has said, come on, Dave, we can clear this together. And I've come upon affliction and persecution, and it's a brother or two brothers or three brothers that says, come on, Dave, we can clear this together. And I come upon hurdle number three, and it's my brothers and sisters that can clear it together with me. Run with the team. Don't do it alone. Hebrews 3:13 behind me on the screen says this. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And number two, keep your eyes on the team captain. Keep your eyes on the team captain. If you choose to follow Jesus, you will suffer persecution. You will. But when you come up upon hurdle number two, keep your eyes on Jesus. If you choose to follow Jesus, Satan is going to throw every possible worry and distraction and deceitfulness and temptation your way. You will come across all three of these hurdles. Keep your eye on the Savior. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus kept his eyes on the prize, and we are to keep our eyes on him. Which one of these are you having trouble clearing? We're all in this together. Which one of these are you having trouble clearing? Is there any verse in Scripture that when you come to that verse, you harden your heart? Are you facing persecution right now? Are you facing affliction right now? Is your decision to follow Christ making your life difficult? Oh, fix your eyes on Jesus and by his grace jump that hurdle. Is there a temptation in your life right now? A worry of this world, a deceitfulness of riches, something the world has to offer that is keeping you from totally following Jesus. Run with the team. Take the hand of a sister or a brother and fix your eyes on the Savior, and by his grace, jump that hurdle. And together, 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 let's make it to the finish line.